Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Thank you for joining me again today. And I am back in the studio in person with 2 guests today. This is fun. This is actually the first time that we have had 2 guests in the podcast with me live in person. I have husband and wife team, Nathan and Melissa King, and I am thrilled to have you with me today. Thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. This is super fun. They are the authors of just an incredible Bible curriculum called Bible Quest. And we got a hold of this recently and we were really excited about what this curriculum is. But we're going to talk about that probably on Thursday. Today, we want to first introduce you, our listeners, to your family. But then we want to talk about the importance of Bible study in our homes and family discipleship. But before we do that, Melissa, introduce us to your family.
Okay, well, we have 4 children. We have 3 girls and then a little boy. So we've been homeschooling from the beginning.
Yeah, a decade now.
Yeah.
Is your oldest is 9th grade, right?
She is, yes. Grade.
Okay, so you've been homeschooling the same amount of time we have. Mm-hmm. Why did you start to homeschool?
Well, when my oldest was of age to go off to school, I was not ready yet to send her away from me for a whole day. And I had friends who homeschooled, and I never thought I would ever want to homeschool. And
like the rest of us.
Yeah. She said, "Oh, just come over and see how easy it is." So I went there for a day and just kind of sat and watched. And I thought, I can do that, you know, so we haven't looked back.
So you went to your friend's house, and did she actually, was she one of those super organized homeschool moms who sat her kids down and actually did, you know, subject by subject and
had it all put together? Well, no, I mean, they had desks, you know, and she had a school area, but a lot of it was also, you know, free and natural kind of as they went. So I just thought, oh, you can do like this little thing and then you take a break for snack and then you take a, you know, it worked with a natural day that I would have at home. So
it's interesting because when we started homeschooling, I had no clue what it looked like. Mm-hmm. You know, I had in my imagination what a homeschool day would look like. But then I had some friends who invited us over as well to kind of observe. And it's funny to think about that, because if someone came to my home right now to observe our homeschool day, I'd be like, show up at noon. We'll do maybe some reading, and then it's going to be lunchtime because, you know, by that time it's like 1 or 1:30, which is typically when we eat lunch in our home. And so it would be really funny to have someone come over to our house, but we have oftentimes had people over where we just fellowship and hang out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our school does not look like a traditional school day at all.
Yeah.
What does your homeschool day look like now? I mean, not your specific hour by hour schedule, but does it look anything like what you thought it would look like when you went to your friend's house and kind of observed what she was doing? What do you guys do during your typical day?
I think that we have found a good balance. I used to be really type A, and then I went to unschooling, and now I've kind of come to where I have a healthy balance, I think. And so it does actually look a lot like what she showed me in the beginning.
Yeah. I love that. So fun. So this is your husband, Nathan, who's with us. Nathan, hi.
Hello.
It's so good to have a dad on with us, because usually we have moms on the podcast, because typically our listening audience is moms. So we do have a lot of dads who listen. So it's really fun. And one of my favorite things to do is to talk to dads about family discipleship. I would love for you to talk about your role in your home as husband and as father. And I know that in the past you were involved in youth ministry. So I would love for you to talk about kind of family discipleship from that aspect and why you are so passionate about studying the Word of God, maybe even as a result of having been in ministry with youth.
Sure. Yeah. So I had an opportunity to be a youth minister, as you say, for about 13 years in Kansas. And that gave me some opportunities to have a flexible schedule. I was actually able to join my wife in a lot of the homeschool kinds of things. And so that was kind of neat. And I was able to actually join. We had a kind of a co-op group that we were a part of. And so I was actually able to be part of that. And so I know that's not what where everyone's able to be, but that was my position. That was what I was able to do. And so I saw, of course, tremendous value on that end, as we saw how impactful and how effective homeschooling really can be. You know, we don't have this situation where the people are afraid of. They're afraid that they're going to be able to do anything with their children. They're afraid they're going to be able to teach them well. And right. And yeah, you can. You can teach them extraordinarily well. And even if you don't have a background in education, that being said, I have a background in education. So I have a degree both in Bible from Manhattan Christian College and a secondary education degree from Kansas State University. And so I was able to bring those things to bear, certainly, but not everyone who was part of that had that background. And they were able to be extraordinarily effective in teaching their children. Mm-hmm. Now, the question becomes, if they could be that effective teaching math or spelling, and they have no, you know, official educational background, how effective would they be then, of course, teaching God's word? And people have similar fears with that. They go, man, I just don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can be part of that. And so what I've seen is that often parents will, well-meaning, kind of relegate their responsibility that God has given them mm-hmm. to disciple their children to church staff, mm-hmm. right? And that's not really, scripturally, I don't think that's really where things ought to be. It doesn't mean that church staff can't be part of that.
Sure.
Okay. But 1 Peter 4, 11, and 12, it talks about how, it's given apostles and it's given teachers and preachers. And I'm butchering that, but we're given these things for the equipping of the saints.
Right.
Right. And so that's what the role of that church staff is. They're supposed to be able to train me to train my kids.
Right.
Right. They're training the parent to train the kids. So when we relegate that responsibility to church staff rather than taking it on ourselves, it's almost like a little bit of a dereliction of duty, right, that God has given us, because we are the primary disciplers right. of our children. We as parents are the primary disciplers of our children. And so in to answer your question about, what did I see in youth ministry, this actually kind of leads into what we do now with Bible mm-hmm. Quest. We, about 10 years into the ministry, we started wondering, how effective are we? Right. I mean, you want to know that what you're doing is making a difference. And, sure. and of course, we'd engage with people. And I know there was moments there that the Holy Spirit was moving and was doing some incredible things with individuals. Great. But I did want to see on the broader scale,
sure.
How effective are we doing? And so we had this idea that we would do a study of the students who had been through the ministry, right?
Through your ministry specifically.
At the church.
Okay.
And those that had graduated out, mm-hmm. right? Now, there's a problem. When you try to do a study of the spiritual condition right. of people who were in your church, you have to somehow assess their spiritual condition. Right. We didn't call everyone, all right? We just made a subjective measure of what we saw as far as fruit of the Spirit in sure. those people's lives.
Right.
And that's all we can do. It was I know it's subjective, mm-hmm. but it's still an indicator
sure.
that we could maybe try to get some idea. Are we being effective here, mm-hmm. right? And their stories aren't over, of course, right? We know we're just taking a picture at that moment. When we did that study, we looked through all the kids who had been through the ministry that I had some, contact with at some point or another. And the national average on retention, mm-hmm. once students are graduated out of a program, is something in the neighborhood of 20 to 30%. Ken Ham in Already Gone, I believe he puts that number closer to 20%, mm-hmm. but it really kind of depends on who you're asking and the questions that you are asking, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there could be some variance there, but if it's a low number, right? Either way, it's about a fifth to a third, a fourth of students that stay in the church in an active way. And we went through our students and we kind of divided them into three areas. We said, okay, what are the students that are actively walking with Christ? Like, we see fruit here, okay? Maybe they're lying to us, but this is what we see. Right? We see something that's real.
Sure.
That we can tell there's something going on. Then we had a second class where it's like, I don't know that there's any indication here at all. If Jesus is working on him, he's doing it in a very silent way,
right?
Because there is no indication whatsoever that this person is walking with Christ. In fact, it's actually the opposite.
Right.
And then we had this kind of third group of, I really don't know. either we didn't have enough contact with them mm-hmm. to really make a determination, or we'd lost contact with them.
Right.
Okay. And that actually was the largest group. That's about 40% of our students. So we really could only look at about 60%. The in our group, 29% of the students were walking with Christ in a meaningful way, according to our very subjective measure.
Sure.
the rest of the students, about 21%, if my math is right, 20% were not walking with Christ. That is helpful in some sense, because it's like, okay, we're along with the national average, which sure. I still think is very paltry, and there needs to be something better happening there. But it didn't give us a real solid indicator to work with, like, what could we do better, mm-hmm. right? So we started adding indicators. We started saying, okay, look, we know these families, you know, what's going on in their lives? And we started adding all these indicators into that. And the indicator that began to really come to the forefront was things that had to do with parents. Mm-hmm. When we started looking at indicators like, do the students go to church with their parent? That's a thing, right? Right. Like lots of youth kids actually go to different churches than their parents.
Sure.
Okay. But if they go to the same church as their parents, and I'm not necessarily saying that's a horrible thing, but this is our indicator. Are they going to the church with their parents? Are they going to the same service as their parents? Are their parents involved in their spiritual development, mm-hmm. even if the parent themselves is not the greatest model for spiritual development? That was really interesting. We had some parents that maybe claimed Christ,
right.
but they weren't necessarily what I would call a model to imitate, right? But they were at least involved. They were at least interested in trying to help their child to become more like Christ. Mm-hmm. That was an indicator. Anything to do with parents, all of these parental indicators, we put those into the mix and we reran the numbers, right? 80% of those students were walking solidly with Christ
wow.
at the end of it. There was another 20% that were not. Of that 20%, 100%, except for one kid who was an outlier, had daddy issues during their teen years. Either daddy died, that happened, or dad left. There's a divorce in the family.
Wow.
100% of those kids who weren't walking with Christ. Can God use any context? Of course he can.
Sure.
Okay, we know that he has reached into some of the darkest places and pulled people out. Okay, but isn't it also cool to see how he seems to honor the efforts and the love that parents pour into their kids, okay? Now, Proverbs tells us, you know, that there's some wisdom here, you know, of train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. Have we ever seen the opposite of that? Sure,
absolutely.
Sure. But we're looking at the broad picture here, okay? Proverbs is telling us wisdom. It's not a promise. It is wisdom.
Right.
But is that the generality? Yes, it is.
Sure.
And so there's a value there when parents are involved. And so that was very, very powerful in I guess, my spiritual walk, mm-hmm. my development. And how I view discipleship and education in the church,
yeah.
To see that and to realize that as a youth minister, I had been working with parents. I knew them, I loved them, but was I really trying to equip them mm-hmm. for their ministry, right? Or was I taking students into the youth group and saying, thanks, parents, see you later. And mm-hmm. I wasn't against them staying,
sure.
but I didn't need them to. And sometimes, frankly, emotionally, it was easier if the parents weren't there.
Right.
I'm just being honest. It was easier if they weren't there. I didn't feel like I was being judged or that I was being, you know, kind of watched from the background, right? And so it freed me up to not be quite so nervous. Looking back on that, I would rather I didn't have that attitude. But emotionally, that's where I was at that time.
Sure.
But this was a big turning point.
Yes, it was.
In how we viewed ministry, even just in our own home, like, the discipleship sure. of our children. And
that's right.
It just was a really big turning point for us.
Let's take a quick break.
Sure.
We will be right back.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
We are back with Nathan and Melissa. And this is fascinating. I love that you guys actually did kind of a study of your own people to see where they were spiritually. And you mentioned already Gone. We've talked about that on the podcast before. That's an excellent book. I think there's actually a Already Gone video. And it's a whole study on, you know, why adults, young adults are choosing to leave the church, to walk away from the Lord, and what it all comes down to, and we'll get to that, is foundation. The foundation that is being or not being set in the home specifically by the parents. So continue on.
The study we did was a big turning point in how we looked at how do we carry out this ministry? How do we stay youth pastors, you know, and continue on the path that the church sees a youth pastor being when we really feel like it needs to be shifted this way.
Sure, right.
It needs to look different.
Right. Yeah.
And at that moment, I say that moment, during that time, that was when we actually started homeschooling as well, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So your kids were little at this point.
Yeah, they're still pretty small.
Okay.
And so in that milieu, I guess we had been homeschooling for a little while, but it was still very fresh in our minds.
Sure.
I guess it was probably several years into it. But looking at that, we were with this group called Classical Conversations. Mm-hmm. And they introduced us to this idea of the classical model, right? And I have a background in education, and I'd never heard this thing before. I'd never heard of these concepts before. Some things were embedded in what I had been taught, but it was never used in a systemic way. Sure. It was always, I won't go into it, but it's, they kind of cherry pick a few things, and they present them as like really incredible, amazing information that you ought to know. And it's really, really old stuff that we already know works. Anyway, so in looking at that classical model, we started saying, wait a second, what if we could start doing this? What if we start using this as a means to equip the parents, to do that? And Melissa had this grand idea. She said, well, Nathan, I mean, I don't think there's a classical thing out here for teaching the Bible. Mm. You know, we should do that. And that's kind of where Bible Quest was born, was in that. But we started looking at ways that we can engage with families, with parents. And so beyond just the Bible Quest curricular stuff, we were trying to find some of those solutions to engage families in their discipleship with their children.
Well, and we realized that doing the lessons that we had been throughout the whole time at the church, the kids still at the end of it would be confused. Which Joseph is this, you know? And, you know, they wouldn't know, are we talking Old Testament or New Testament, and what that meant and how it fit in any sort of a timeline of anything.
Joseph, Jesus' dad, as Joseph in Egypt. Like, that literally was a question. Somebody, how is this possible?
So we thought, okay, we've got to do something different.
Right, because they were missing, again, that foundation.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to back up really quickly, because you mentioned in your study that you did of your youth kids that dad played a big role in that.
Yeah.
So talk really quickly about your role as dad. Your role as the head discipler, if you will, of your wife and your children and in your home, what does that look like for you? And why is it important that you, as the spiritual leader of your home, take on that leadership? I mean, why not just leave it to Melissa? Because she's the one who's home with them, homeschooling and doing kind of the day-to-day thing. You're out working during the day to provide for her to be able to be home to do that. So why does your role in that matter? And what does that look like for you?
Yeah. So I think that, and we didn't discuss this before our podcast here today, but I think that my role is often the disciplinary kinds of things that are hard to do. You know, Melissa's able to say, look, we're going to talk about this when your dad comes home. Okay. It's just true. It's just true. That's
what
happened.
Wait till your father gets.
Yeah, but
father
I'm
gets.
Able to, yeah, that's right. But I'm able to bring love and, I won't say wrath. Yes, I will. I'll say wrath in a loving way to my children, so they are disciplined, not punishment. We don't do punishment, because that is punitive in nature, right? I mean, it's getting back at them for what they did or whatever. It is discipline for the future. It is helping them to see whether they like it or not, that this behavior is not going to be what's happening moving forward.
Right.
And so they're able to be disciplined, and I bring a lot of that to the table. Additionally, Melissa does a really good job of being, I guess, the heart and the impetus for a lot of what we do. I mean, she's like, hey, we need to be doing this. And she helps remind me, you know, because I can get off on my little tangent, even though I have this thing called Bible Quest. I mean, I can, right. I can do my other things and kind of forget a little bit that we need to be discipling our children. But then I'm able to come back and say, okay, here's what we're going to focus on right now. Here's what we're going to do. And so I provide that direction mm-hmm. and that clarity to what we're doing, because I want to know what our mission is right now. Right.
Right.
I want to know, here's what we're doing and here's how we're going to get there. And so Melissa might bring the heart of saying, hey, this needs to be happening. But I can say, well, you're right. Absolutely. Thank you for reminding me. Here's what we can do. And here's what we
need to do a good job of holding us to it. Mm-hmm. You know, come on, everybody, let's come sit down and do this now. Or, you know, whereas it's so easy. I get easily distracted. I get overwhelmed by everything going on. So yeah.
Right.
He helps to bring the stability of this is important to do, you know, daily.
Sure. Yeah. Doing oftentimes, you know, a daily family discipleship devotional is important, but not everyone can do it every day.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, I mean, we were in a season for a long time where Garrett worked, you know, he would be gone for days at a time, of course, because of his job. And so, you know, I did my normal thing with the girls, but he wasn't home to lead that. But family discipleship is not just sitting down for 20 minutes a day and reading the Bible together. That's part of it. But it's also just every day finding ways to bring scripture into
that's right
your day and pray with your kids when a need arises, or just find ways to incorporate God's truth mm-hmm. into our everyday lives, where it's just a natural thing to always be thinking about the things of the Lord. And that's training. I mean, that's real mm-hmm. child training. So we are going to talk more about this, but we're out of time for this episode. We will be back on Wednesday, and we're going to talk more about family discipleship, the importance of studying God's word, and how we can do that effectively. And we're going to talk about Bible Quest. You're excited. Okay. So thank you for joining me today. Thank you guys for being with us today. We love that you're on the other side of this camera and the other side of this microphone. If you have not yet left a review for the podcast, we would love for you to do that. It's really, really helpful for us because it helps to introduce it to more people and more people hear about it. And it's so much fun to get comments from people and reviews and just know how this ministry that God has called us to is impacting your lives. So shoot us an email too at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com and let us know how we can best serve you and encourage you. If you have topics you want us to discuss or guests that you would like to have on the podcast, we will do our best to tackle those. So thank you. Have a great day. We'll see you back here on Wednesday. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.